Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins. I am a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and I love helping people with their gardens and their landscapes and going through and making the world a more beautiful place. And so I love answering gardening questions. If you have a gardening question, we're going to be taking it this hour, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. But it's time for the dirty word of the day.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is air layering. Air layering. Air layering is an old method for propagating plants of large size that you can do for just a special purpose. You want a tree or a shrub that's evergreen and flowering. You can even do it with deciduous trees, and you can't find another one. Well, you can make your own by air layering. And this especially works with tropical trees and shrubs. So how do you do it? Well, here's the steps for making an air layer planting. One, you take a section of the stem and you can girdle it. And by girdling it, I mean you're going to very slightly, very tenderly cut the outer outside bark very carefully. And then about an inch or 2 inches down, you cut another ring around the stem and you remove that bark area very, very carefully. Then you remove several layers around this wound, because that's what it is, it's wounded, and you pack it. You take some wet sphagnum moss, wrap it around the stem, and tie it. You can use sphagnum moss or peat moss, and then you wrap it around and tie it onto it. You cover the moss with a polyethylene plastic, and you tie each end of that plant. Now, you want to check to make sure the moss remains moist until roots form, and they will. It'll start producing roots in that cut area. So after the roots are visible, you can see them inside the bag, then the rooted stem can be cut from the mother plant and repotted. That's called air layering. And you will see this if you go down to South Miami to the growers. They will have shrubs and trees out in their nursery, and you will see bags hanging from the trunks of the branches and the trees, and that's them producing, propagating more plants for future potting.
Okay, I've seen that, and I did wonder what is going on there, so that makes sense.
Yeah, so it's very interesting and very easy to do. You can do it very easily with your tropical plants and then the green portions of your trees, other trees that you would like to have another copy of. Okay. So the dirty word of the day is air layering.
Okay.
All right.
So my one of my adventures that I thought I was going to go on, but you know, you really should pay attention to your plants, especially if you want to propagate them. So I did the research on how to propagate poinsettias, because I found at a box store what I call splatter paint poinsettias.
Yes, yes.
They were so gorgeous, and some of the leaves were two-faced, so they were bright red with an ivory color, mm-hmm, splatter paint. And so some of them were two-faced. They were half the ivory and half red, and then the others have the splatter all over. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, so I researched it, and I got the root hormone
yes,
powder.
Yes, rooting hormone powder.
And then I cut it where I was supposed to, on the notches and the what, however you...
Diagonally.
There you go. I did everything perfect. And then I actually had like a little bit of a cover over them, mm-hmm, and they were out of the sun and beautiful. And then 4 days later, I remembered them.
Yes.
Yeah, everything was dry and...
Oh, you didn't keep them moist enough. Oh, I'm so sorry.
So I'm glad that I only really sacrificed one of my plants. So I've got three more.
So you're going to try it again?
Yeah, yes. Sure. That sounds great. Sounds like something I don't want to ever do again.
Oh, no. You should do it again and try it and just make sure you water it.
I need to set a timer on my phone.
Timer on your phone.
Remind me to go back every day.
Yes, that would be good. Mm. Yes, growing plants is not easy.
It's like taking care of kids.
That's it, exactly.
It's like having a pet. You just don't have to take it out to go to the bathroom.
There you There you go. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What should you be doing right now? Now it's April. We've had 3 months since our major freeze. If anything is dead in your yard, cut it back. Find if it's still living. If it's not living, you can go ahead and take it out. And I will tell you what's a really good thing to do with your dead shrubs that are all sticky and they look terrible is put them behind your shed where you don't see them. And then in October, when it's Halloween, take them back out and plant them in your front yard so your front yard looks like a cemetery.
Oh, you can do like a spooky tree. Yeah, because like I know a few years ago, you had actually done a whole segment on how to create a spooky looking garden. Yes. And it was already, it's one of those things kind of like it's already too late because we didn't save our old stuff.
Right. But. So now's the time to go ahead and save it for Halloween. And also you can use it to make Halloween decorations. So just go ahead and pull everything out that's dead. Cut grasses back. All the ornamental grasses that have fronds and flowers from last year should be cut back now. Okay. They should get cut in January, February, but if you haven't cut them back, this is the time. They're not going to come back. Shefflorus are really looking bad too. So if you have dead shefflorus, dead exoras, dead any type of plant that's dead, go ahead and, you know, just go ahead and cut it. Okay, great. Super duper. All right, so let's go ahead and we are going to be talking to Heather Stickney in just a few minutes. We're going to be interviewing her with the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Joining me right now is Heather Stickney. She is the marketing director for Summit Responsible Solutions Studio, or Summit Responsible Solutions. There you go.
Wait, can I say this real quick? Okay, so we did that. Actually, this is perfect timing text-wise. So we had a listener. Her name is Becky. And she said, thank you, Teresa and Lizzie, for providing such a great show and so much information. She goes, I get a kick. She goes, you'll get a kick out of this. She goes, for months, whenever you were saying Summit Responsible Solutions, I always thought you were saying Somewhat Responsible Solutions. And I thought to myself, why would a business advertise that they are somewhat responsible? Becky, you cracked us up.
There you go. It is Summit Responsible Solutions. Good morning, Heather. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you. How are you?
I am great. Tell us what spring is like where you live.
Well, spring has been a roller coaster this week. I was in Baltimore, and they had high temperatures of 90 degrees on Thursday.
Isn't that amazing? That is
unbelievable. In April, no less.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're experiencing a little bit more of a cold front. I'll be up in Virginia and the Maryland section next week. So I'm hoping the temperatures are going to be in the 70s and 60s.
When I left yesterday, that was what they were forecasting. So it should be a little more pleasant.
Wonderful.
So I'm back in Ohio today and we had some rain overnight. It's a little bit wet, but definitely more moderate temperatures here.
Excellent. Excellent. Have you started your spring garden?
Honestly, I have not. We have had record rainfall this spring.
Oh, my goodness.
Over 10 inches. So it's made it a little bit challenging to get outside and do any work.
I can understand that. Well, rainfall is probably one of the things that concerns us most here in Florida. And with rain, we have the humidity and we get insects and disease issues. And your products, Summit Responsible Solutions products, are excellent. Tell us about your year-round spray oil.
So our year-round spray oil is a highly refined horticultural oil, and it can be used in both the dormant and growing season to kill things like aphids, mites, scale, and any other type of soft body insect. It's approved for use in organic gardening, so it is a more environmentally friendly option for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be used on just about any type of plant, including edibles, and used up to the day of harvest.
That's really, really very important, because it can be used up to the day of harvest. And so, so on the instructions, does it say that you need to wash off the vegetables, or what would you do if you sprayed it on it the day up?
You know, it does. I don't know that there are specific instructions for once the fruit or the vegetable is picked. I think it's always just a matter of good practice to wash the vegetables in case there's any dirt or anything else that might be on them.
That is true. And so your Neem 85, tell us about that. This is a new product, and I will tell you I've had good success with it. Tell us about Neem 85.
Neem is also an oil. It is an oil that's derived from the neem seed, which is a plant that comes or grows primarily in Southeast Asia. In addition to being an oil, our neem is a cold press product, so it maintains a compound called azadirachtin, which has some additional insecticidal properties. So it works as an anti-sterilant and an anti-feedant, in addition to being a suffocant to kill and control various insect pests as well as diseases.
Right, and that's important because the oil kind of suffocates the insects, like the scale, that have a little shell on it that protects them from regular insecticide. So
correct.
That works really well. I'm very pleased with it, and I've been recommending it. And I was even thinking about it today when Gary called about his magnolia, and he had black spot on it. And I said, you know what? You know, we should really just check it for scale and use an oil on it. So that's very important. Now, the mosquito bits, we have a need for them. Even when it's dry here, the irrigation can leave pockets of water in your landscape and in your bird baths, and then also with bromeliads. So tell us about the mosquito bits for those people who do not know, our listeners who do not know about this great product.
So mosquito bits work they have an active ingredient called BTI, which is a soil-borne bacterium that is toxic only to mosquito larvae. So mosquitoes don't need a lot of water to breed. They can breed in as little as, you know, a capful of water.
I know.
So any place that might collect water, like your bromeliads, those little cups, if you sprinkle mosquito bits, the active ingredient will dissolve off the granule and kill the mosquito larva before they can become biting adults.
That's so important. I really do appreciate that, really. And so this doesn't harm birds going to your bird bath, or even birds going into a bromeliad. It doesn't hurt them. It doesn't hurt, wildlife, butterflies, or our pollinator insects. It doesn't hurt them at all.
That is correct. This is what I would call a very responsible solution. It is harmless to virtually everything except mosquito larvae.
That's fascinating. I love Mother Nature, because this is a natural product, an organic product that Mother Nature provides for us. And you supply it so that we can get it very easily. So I do appreciate that. Now, if people are going, because this is getting into the season for spring breaks, and also camping and vacations are coming up in a couple of months, what products do you have to help people when they go camping and hiking for their clothing and for like their tents?
I think one of the biggest concerns people have when they're out is, certainly we're hearing more in the news about the disease that ticks and mosquitoes can spread. So one of the solutions that we offer is our Green Armor insect repellent for clothing and gear. This is a permethrin-based spray, and the permethrin binds to the fabric of your jacket, your shoes, your pants, your tents, your backpacks, to kill and repel mosquitoes, ticks, and other biting insects. So it's a great way to help prevent a mosquito bite or a tick bite that could lead to a bigger problem.
And I also see that you guys have a thing called Tick Take. It's a tick removal tool, which a lot of people who don't know how to remove ticks and with the seems to be a pretty big problem this season we have coming up. I'm pretty interested in this.
The Tick Take is really, you know, if you haven't taken measures to prevent a tick bite and you do find one embedded, The tick take is a small spoon-shaped tool. It's notched at the end, and you simply slide it along your skin to grab the tick and pop it out. It's both physician and veterinarian approved. So if you have a dog that might happen to get bitten by a tick, it's, you know, a great way to help remove that from your pet.
That is. And so, and then you can take it with you along on your vacations and stuff and do your nightly tick checks there.
And it also has, it's a set so you can actually put on your key ring. So if you have keys that you take with you, then
on a
that
hiking
way,
trip,
there you, oh, yeah.
You can pop one in the glove box of your car. You're exactly right. You can put it on your key ring. It's very small. And, you know, really a great tool to have should you ever need it.
That is great. I am so impressed. And so Heather, how the mosquito bits, the mosquito dunks, how would you know which one to use, whether you want to use the bits or whether you want to use the dunks?
With the mosquito bits, those work very quickly. So if you have a problem and you want to take care of it very quickly, I would use bits to clean up the current problem. They work to kill within 24 hours and last for 7 to 14 days. Mosquito dunks are a little bit longer release and offer a little bit longer control. So, for example, in a bird bath, you could apply bits to clean up the problem and then add a dunk to prevent the problem going forward.
That's so great. Now, Mother's Day is coming up. There's going to be a lot of picnics, especially here in Florida. Up in Ohio, I hope you have great weather, and all across the country celebrating Mother's Day. How can people take care of their yards and say, okay, I don't want any insects the day of, and I don't want any fleas or ticks or mosquitoes or any kind of biting insects? What would you suggest they use?
We make a product. We make two different products. One is called Mosquito and Gnat Barrier. The other is called Tick and Flea Spray. Both will work to do the same thing. They're just labeled a little bit differently depending on your specific type of problem. So you can use that particular product in your lawn, apply it a day or two in advance of your picnic or your outdoor event, and apply to areas where ticks or mosquitoes might harbor. That will help to control the adult populations for up to 30 days and really keep your backyard bug-free.
What I love about your products is that they're natural. Most of them are labeled where you can use them anywhere, and you have such great products. You are very responsible. That's one of the reasons why we love having you as a sponsor of the show and our studios. We've named them after you. They are so, your products are excellent, and I get nothing but raves from all of the people who call us and talk about your products. And when I meet them at talks and things, they go, we love your mosquito bits. Or they say, we use the mosquito dunks. And I'm very, very, I'm very proud of that. So thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you. We appreciate all the support in our partnership.
You're welcome, hon. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Heather Stickney with Summit Responsible Solutions.
Yes.
And she is a sponsor. And one of the reasons why is because her product is so great.
Yes, and I've used their products prior to even working here at iHeart. And the fact is I feel very comfortable using their products around. We have dogs.
Mm-hmm.
We have turkeys. That's the thing, is I really feel very comfortable because, you know, birds are just very weird. And it's like, I mean, they use canaries and coal mines for
brains.
A reason.
What do you think? Right?
You know, so they're very sensitive to certain things compared to other, you know, so I feel very comfortable using the Summit Responsible Solution products on my property. So for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you. So we do appreciate that. So that's summitresponsiblesolutions.com. And you can also just Google Summit Responsible and they're there. So we do appreciate her coming on. Lizzie, we're going to have more gardening questions. We've got some text messages here from John in Palm Bay and Lauren from Bartow. If you have a gardening question, you can give us a call. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We want to thank Heather Stickney with Summit Responsible Solutions. She is a wonderful, wonderful person, and we love talking with her.
Yes, definitely.
She's great. So if you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. John in Palm Bay sent a text message, and he goes, when is the best time to prune evergreen shrubs? Is any time of the year all right? And he said, thank you. Well, thank you, John, for your text message. So pruning, there's got to be a reason for the pruning. And so if it's evergreen and it's not flowering, you can cut those back any time of the year, you know, especially if you're wanting to keep them in line where they're not overgrowing a sidewalk, or they're growing out of bounds. You can cut those any time of the year, not a problem. Flowering shrubs, you always want to cut after they finish blooming. Okay, so evergreen shrubs, any time of the year, not a problem. And then he had a question about his Christmas palm. He has a triple Christmas palm. That means that it's got three trunks. Two of them are alive, and one doesn't seem like it is from the freeze. And in Palm Bay, they got extremely cold. So what I would look for, John, is I would look at the top if you could see a new frond coming up, okay, emerging from the top of that trunk. See if any new fronds are coming up. Cut off any of the dead fronds. I would wait probably another month to 6 weeks and go ahead and fertilize it with a palm fertilizer. See if it recovers. It may. It just may take a little bit to come back. If you don't see anything in 6 weeks, you may have to cut that palm off. But it's going to continue to decline. So just look at the top. If you can see a new frond emerging, it should be emerging now if it's still alive. If it's not, I would probably wait a month and cut it back. Great question. Lauren from Bartow. She said she had a Brogdon avocado that she was so sad to lose, and she put the lose in quotation marks in the freeze. I thought you would really like to hear that I took your advice in cutting it back and fertilizing, and it has lots of new growth. And she said, thank you. So, yay, her avocado tree is going to make it. And I think that's going to be most of the avocados and mangoes are going to need to be cut back. It's just the ones that are large, that are huge, 30 feet tall and 20 feet wide. They may need to cut those back drastically, so they may not look so good for a little while.
True.
Okay. We have Bruce in St. Petersburg. He said, I would like to add color to my shady backyard. What can I plant? And there are so many great plants for you, Bruce, that you can put in your yard to just promote color and bring it to life. If you'd like maybe a classical look, you could do abelias. Edward Gosher. It's got a beautiful pink flowers. They have white flowers on them, different varieties, but the Edward Gosher is pink. That does beautifully in the shade. You can plant azaleas and camellias, Mona lavender, which is a plectranthus. Daylilies will bloom in the shade very nicely. You can do clivias, ajugas, and rex begonias or regular begonias too as well. So those are nice for a classical look. Now, if you want more of a tropical look, you can do caladiums and coleuses, crotons, and Hawaiian ties, the trio stars, the stramanthas, New Guinean patients, and bromeliads. So you've got a lot of great choices, Bruce, for doing a shaded garden with lots of color. We have a lot of great plant selections.
Oh, those are some really good suggestions. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you can always have color, and especially in the shade. And since we're going to be planting trees, you know, you want to make sure that if you planted a tree or you planted it years ago and you have plants that are not doing so well underneath it anymore, it may be time to go from having sunny plants underneath the tree canopy and substituting or transplanting new plants that will take the shade better. So when plant trees, the plants underneath it may be growing fine until it gets too shady and you can see that they're not responding. They're not growing well anymore. And it may be because they just need more sunlight, and then also root competition too as well. You don't want to be planting shrubs underneath your tree, that newly planted tree, because the root competition, also the nutrient competition, and you want to make sure your tree has the best start. So if you're going to be planting underneath a tree, make sure it's far enough away you know, I would say probably, I would say at least 10 feet away from a large canopy tree that you've planted. And then that way they don't need moved in the future. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So Tina in Tampa, she says, how can I use black cow in my yard? And that's a really great question, because when do you use manure and when can you put it in your yard? Well, black cow is a rich source of organic matter. Of course, manure is always a great source for organic matter. It improves garden soil and it provides beneficial bacteria and microorganisms. That's important. In our sandy soils, we don't have a lot of microorganisms in it to help keep the soil natural and providing nutrients and things. So the bacteria and microorganisms in black cow aerates the sod, it breaks down organic materials, and it produces nutrients such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. So it also improves soil structure. So if your yard, your landscape seems like it's compacted, you can just till in very lightly, just the top surface area, you can place and spread manure on it and incorporate it into your soil. And that's going to help relieve the compaction, but it's also going to allow the plant roots of your turf and in your landscape beds to have easy access to it. So, black cow, that would be great. So, let's 1-888-455-2967. Great questions. Thank you, Bruce and Tina, for those great questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Dana on today's show, did he happen to mention when his upcoming book will be available? No, he did not. What? But we will ask him about that. Hmm. That's very important. So that'll be a great question to ask him. I would love to have that book. Linda in Zone 8B says, does anyone ever put earthworms in their potted plants? Yes, we do, Linda. And I love seeing potted plants when I lift them out of the soil and I see earthworms at the bottom. That's great. We're going to be right back with more of your gardening questions and Better Lawns and Gardens this Saturday morning. This is Where You Are, Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I love our listeners and our text messages. Linda, you cracked me up. She wants to know how many earthworms per pot. And I would say as many as you can get that will live there. So
you find those are the same one, the ones that you can buy like the bait stores, sure. And like the the farm stores and
you
feed
can find
stores.
Some there, yeah. And so that's too funny. As many as will live in there.
What's the major benefit of, like, so my cucumbers I have, like, I have a mm-hmm. big potted area mm-hmm. of them on a trellis. So would it be behoove of me to go and get some and put them in there or
not?
No?
Necessarily. You might have them already in there in your ground already, so you don't need to purchase any. But what they do is they break down the soil, and with their what they exude out, it helps add nutrition to the soil. So they're really very beneficial. Bob asks a really great question. He says, I enjoy listening to your show on iHeart. I live in Miami. What kind of weed killers can I use? Can I use them now? Thank you for your show. And so great question, because herbicides, they are, they're safe to use when used according to the label and at the right time of year. But weed killers, herbicides, can also damage your lawns and plants when used at a wrong time of the year. And when is it wrong to use them? When the temperatures are over 85 degrees, when it's too hot. And when that happens, the weeds are usually stronger than the chemical, and they may get damaged, they may get burned. They don't necessarily go away. It doesn't get rid of them entirely. So this month, next week, for the whole state of Florida, it will be an optimum time to use a weed killer and herbicide if you have not used one already. And it will be advantageous for you because the temperatures are going to be below 85 throughout the state. And then next weekend, we're going to be getting some rainfall, and that will help too as well. So thank you, Bob, for listening on iHeart. So you want to make sure when you use a weed killer, you know what weeds you're wanting to kill. And so weeds have three categories, and there's a really cool way to remember them, which is it could be a sedge. So sedges have edges, and there can be rushes, which are the broadleaf weeds. Grasses have nodes from the top to the ground. So it goes like this. Sedges have edges, rushes are round, and grasses have nodes from the top to the ground. So those are the three different categories. So broadleaf weeds have wide veined leaves that grow from a central stem. And examples of a broadleaf weed would be dollarweed or spurge or Florida pusley or even beggar weeds or wood sorrel, that oxalis, that shamrock-looking plant in your yard. Those are broadleaf weeds. You want to use an herbicide that has those weeds listed on the label. And so take a picture of it, and you can send it to me, and I can tell you what kind of weeds you have, or you can do a Google image search, and it will tell you what kind of weed it is, or you can take a sample to your extension office. Now, grassy weeds look like turf grass, but they have narrow-veined leaves. And examples of a grassy weed would be crabgrass, okay, crabgrass or chickweed. And then sedges are terrible to get rid of. These have solid triangular stems, and they're often identified, like I said, sedges have edges. You can literally feel the edge along the stem, and an example of that would be nutsedge or ground ivy. So you can use those. So when you use a selective herbicide, so a selective herbicide means that this herbicide is going to kill a specific weed without hurting another turf, okay, turf or other plants. So an example of a selective herbicide would be like 2,4-D or atrazine. And so those would be selective. They're going after a specific type of weed. Non-selective herbicide, make sure you're reading the label correctly because you don't want to kill your landscape or your turf. Non-selective means it kills anything green. Okay, so if you spray it on it, something, as if it gets contact with the foliage, the stem, the flower, it is going to kill everything. These are good to use if you're trying to clear out an area, if you're wanting to lay sod down. You want everything out so you can, you know, just kind of scrape the ground, get it ready and prepared for new turf. So non-selective herbicide kills everything. Now, the pre-emergence, it's too late to use a pre-emergent now for springtime and summer, okay? Spring and sometimes weeds are already in the ground, and pre-emergent means before it germinates is not going to be effective. So you want to use post-emergent, which means you put the herbicide on after it's in your yard. Now, you can use pre-emergent for your winter weeds, which this is Florida. We have winter weeds. You can put it down in late September, early October, and that's going to prevent the winter weeds from germinating. All right, so definitely do not want to use an herbicide or a pre-emergent if you're putting sod out with seed you're seeding with grass, or you're putting down garden seeds, flower seeds. You do not want to use a pre-emergent there. So choosing the right herbicide, thank you so much. Let's see, that was Bob in Miami. Thank you, Bob, for that great question. It's important to read the label, and the label is the law. All right? 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Linda said thank you. I appreciate you listening, Linda. And I don't know who sent it. There's no email. Florida worms are easy and fun to raise. A 20-plus gallon container in shade. Add dead leaves, keep moist, and add your kitchen leftovers. That's a perfect way to do it. They literally will come up out of the ground and get into that 20-gallon container and just start decomposing. They will do their job.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So we want to thank Dana Venrick, Quality Green Specialist Nursery, for being on today and sponsoring the show. We do appreciate it. We do love our sponsors. And the only reason they are sponsors, Lizzie, is because they have great products.
Yes. And the thing is that I know that, you know, a lot of shows and people think, oh, you know, you're just going to say that you like the product because they're a sponsor. Well, okay, no, Teresa goes through and she vets whoever decides to sponsor the show. And things like Black Cow and Summit Responsible Solutions is items that I have used and I have not been paid to say that I like them. So I stand by, you know, our sponsors also because I've experienced the high quality of either their customer service, their product, and their knowledge.
Exactly. So we've got some text messages coming in now. Please ask Teresa her top three fruit trees she recommends for Central Florida. Their recommendation said mulberry, Florida peach, and starfruit. Those are great ones. I do love them. I do like that we have Chickasaw plums. I love Chickasaw plums. Pineapple guavas are wonderful. And then I also like mulberries, too. Mulberries are a great fruit tree as well. So those are my pineapple guava and Chickasaw plums. They're great natives. That's it. So one text message. Teresa, we had such a wonderful, hold on, it's going crazy. There we go. No, there we go. Our technology today, it has been spicy. Teresa, we had such beautiful hibiscus for 20 years, kept them trim, but they did get taller than we wanted. Got them cut way back after the freeze. They are not sprouting at all. Are they totally dead like the bougainvillea? I don't know if you will see this text. Station does not report whether you're alive or no answer on phone. That's Alice in Melbourne. Alice, great to have you listening. They may be dead. I don't know. They should have sprouted by now. Did you cut them back? I would cut or I would just keep them for about another month or so. But if they don't come back after a month, that'll be into May. Then you might well want to replace them. We're replacing a lot of the tropicals, the Schefflerose, the hibiscus, and the Ixoras. We've been having to replace because they just did not make this freeze. It was a once-in-a-100-year freeze, and hopefully we're not going to have it this year with the El Nino weather we're going to be getting.
And speaking of that, go ahead and start preparing yourself for, you know, hurricane season. Granted, God blessed us, and we didn't have hurricanes this last year, at least yes. That hit us directly. However, but, you know, go out there and buy that, you know, I go buy at least one case per person, and if not two cases per person who are going to be in your household, and just rotate them out. So, like, you get an extra case. So, say, you know, for me personally, I'll have three cases of water, one that I'm drinking right now, and then whenever I drink that, then I'll go buy another case and rotate it to the bottom
sure.
and then use that. So, I always have two cases of water per person at my house. So,
sure.
you know, little things like that can help.
And also, too, the wintertime is giving us that the winter freeze is giving us a great opportunity to cut back our trees and get them looked at for hurricane season. So it's a great time. We want to thank everyone who called in to listen and text us. We do appreciate it. Check out Art and Bloom Garden Tours and come with me on a garden tour. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Take care. We're going to be back next week. Tom's going to be back next week.
Yippee.
This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
If you missed any of our show or want to recap any other shows, or if you really miss Teresa a lot next week, even though we love Tom and Coven, you can always go on betterlawns.com and you can listen to Teresa give all of her wisdom. That's betterlawns.com.